This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The sixth round of the North American Free Trade Agreement talks are underway in Canada this week. Farm Bureau's priority throughout the renegotiation has been and remains to do no harm to agricultural trade between the NAFTA countries. An additional goal of the American Farm Bureau Federation, as well as President Trump and his trade team, is to make the agreement better for U.S. agriculture and other sectors of our economy. To achieve that, Canada's negotiators need to engage fully in the talks and help us move forward. The United States has offered a proposal to update rules concerning trade disruptions due to animal health and plant risks. We've proposed to improve market access by eliminating tariffs, especially on dairy and poultry going into Canada. Canadian tariffs on dairy products average a whopping 250%. So clearly, there is room for improvement. Now it's time for Canada to respond. Any deal, whether you're buying farmland or livestock, involves give and take. It's time for some serious horse trading. Canada already has a blueprint for what is doable. In the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, Canada agreed to eliminate a 208% tariff on whey and create a new permanent tariff rate quota for dairy products. Canada also has provided more market access under its new agreement with the European Union. Now we look forward to seeing what comes out of the discussion to expand trade among our continental neighbors. NAFTA has been a big success for U.S. agriculture. Canada and Mexico are our number two and number three markets for ag exports, with China being number one. And our farm exports have quadrupled in the years since NAFTA went into effect. But as beneficial as NAFTA has been for U.S. farmers and ranchers, future trade deals could be even more promising, tapping into new, growing markets in the Pacific Rim and other parts of the world. The sooner we wrap up NAFTA negotiations, the sooner our trade officials can turn their attention to negotiating new trade agreements focused on not just on improving the markets we already have, but on expanding access to markets that promise growth for U.S. exports all around the globe. A Reuters article explores how the collapse of the North American Free Trade Agreement might affect the U.S. chicken industry, which currently exports more than $1 billion worth of products annually to Mexico. The Mexican market may find its way to the chopping block if talks to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement collapse and President Donald Trump makes good on a threat to pull out of the 1994 deal with Canada and Mexico, noted Reuters writers Jason Lang and David Alir Garcia. In addition, if NAFTA disappears, U.S. poultry could face increased competition from Brazil, which is the world's top chicken exporter and has tariff-free access to the Mexican market through 2019, as well as the possibility of lost jobs. The sixth round of North American Free Trade Agreement talks are underway in Canada, and AFBF is looking to the talks as a way to modernize the agreement and improve on gains for U.S. agriculture. Dave Salmonson, Senior Director of Congressional Relations at AFBF, said that top trade officials attending the talks this week could tackle hard issues, including agriculture. The talks will include how to deal with the high dairy tariffs in Canada and some food safety standards issues. In addition, Salmonson said, "We hope for improvements and approvals for biotechnology. NAFTA has been very good for U.S. agriculture, for Canadian agriculture, for Mexican agriculture, strong trade growth throughout the 23 years of the agreement, and we want that to continue." The Smithsonian's National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. will mark 2018 as the year of the tractor with two new displays on the past, present, and future of agriculture. Precision Farming opened January 19th within the museum's American Enterprise exhibition with a more contemporary story of disruptive technology in today's agriculture industry. A green, yellow, and red 1918 Waterloo Boy tractor will be on view at the entrance to American Enterprise beginning February 22nd, marking the 100th anniversary of the Deere & Company's entry into the tractor market with the acquisition of the Waterloo Gasoline Engine Company in 1918. This display will highlight the introduction of lightweight gasoline-powered tractors, a major revolution in agriculture that moved farming firmly into the realm of commercial production. An executive order signed by President Donald Trump earlier this month will reduce the bureaucratic red tape private companies encounter while building out infrastructure to deploy broadband services on federal lands. The order directs the General Services Administration to develop a common form and master contract for wireless facility locations on other property owned by the federal government within 180 days. Additionally, all federal property managing agencies must provide a quarterly report to the GSA on the number of applications, approvals, and rejections based on the newly developed common form application. The order does not provide any funding for the deployment of broadband to rural areas, but expedites the approval process for companies that want to deploy broadband infrastructure in rural areas near or on federal lands. Swine Tech Incorporated, the winner of AFBF's Rural Entrepreneurship Challenge, will use its winnings to help reduce piglet mortality and grow local economies. The challenge, now in its fourth year, provides opportunities for individuals to showcase agriculture-based business innovation in rural areas. Matthew Ruda, CEO and co-founder of Swine Tech, explained that the challenge provided more than funding. It also offered a learning experience. Ruda says it's about making sure the audience understand what's going on. There's so many different audiences out there. You have investors, farmers, and the general public. And how can you communicate your dream, your passion, and also what you're doing to each of those audiences? The Agriculture Department's January 12th crop production report confirmed what we've known all along. The U.S. produced several monster crops in 2017. For the 2017-18 marketing year, production of corn is the second highest on record at 14.6 billion bushels. Soybean production is record high at 4.4 billion bushels, and cotton production is the fourth highest on record at 21.3 million bales. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled correctly that federal district courts, not federal courts of appeals, have jurisdiction to review the 2015 Waters of the U.S. or WOTUS rule, said Ellen Steen, general counsel for AFBF, in a statement issued Monday. This Supreme Court decision brings greater clarity to an important issue that has bogged down the litigation over this and other Clean Water Act regulations for years. That is a positive result, but it also creates uncertainty and confusion in the short term because the Sixth Circuit must soon lift its nationwide stay of the 2015 rule. At this time, the Environmental Protection Agency has not yet finalized its proposed rule to delay the application of the unlawful and dangerous 2015 WOTUS rule while the agency considers whether to permanently repeal that rule. AFBF is considering its options to avoid application of the 2015 rule while EPA moves forward with an appropriate long-term solution that provides clear rules and clean water without requiring a federal permit to plow a field. Weekly broiler hatchery data has been showing aggressive growth in the first few weeks of 2018, topping last year's figures by 3% in both the number of eggs set and the number of chicks placed. This weekly data is reflective of a longer-term trend of growing poultry supplies. The week ending January 13th marked the 84th week since May 2016 that the number of eggs set in the U.S. has shown a year-over-year increase. The number of chicks placed out of those eggs set has not quite been so aggressive, seeing some weeks with year-over-year declines. Nonetheless, 2017 chicks placed averaged 2% higher on a weekly basis. Federally inspected broiler production has been gaining for almost a decade, as has consumption. Americans eat nearly 65 pounds of boneless broiler meat per person annually, over 50% more than they ate in 1990. The U.S. population has increased significantly by 30% during that time period, while broiler meat under federal inspection increased 124%. This year, broiler production is expected to expand another 2%, and as the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report notes, broiler returns are favorable for the time being. Feed costs are the number one input. The Macoupin County Agriculture Education Foundation is offering one $1,500, one $1,000, and seven $500 scholarships for the upcoming 2018-19 school year to students wishing to pursue agriculture majors. The foundation offers the scholarships in an effort to provide encouragement and financial assistance to Macoupin County residents and or students of Macoupin County schools who display well-balanced attributes of good citizenship, commitment to activities, and scholastic ability. The applicant must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is attending an Illinois junior college, university, or trade school and majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through your high school guidance counselor, high school agriculture instructor, or the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. An electronic copy of the application can be requested by contacting the Farm Bureau office by telephone or by email at mcfb@frontiernet.net. All applications must be submitted to the Farm Bureau office by March 23rd, and questions can be directed to 217-854-2571. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.